I'll be reading from John 14, verses 8 to 17. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the words themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you."
Thank you. Would you join in the centering hymn, "The Work is Thine, O Christ"? An older hymn, number 396.
The work is thine, O Christ, our Lord, the cause for which we stand. And being thine, 'twill overcome its foes on every hand. Yet grains of wheat before they grow are buried in the earth below. All that is old doth perish there, to form a life both new and fair. So too are we, from self and sin made free. Through suffering thou, O Christ, didst go unto thy throne above, and leadest now the selfsame way those true in faith and love. So lead us then, thou suffering's weight, to share the kingdom's heavenly state. Thy name death has made us free, thou wilt no longer. Messengers o'er land and sea to bring thy children all to thee. Thy name can save, thy name makes free. We consecrate ourselves to thee as servants true, as workers brave and true.
Knowing is one thing, as I said earlier. Doing is quite another. I've often run up against that concept in the non-visual world. It's an honor to be invited into so many different worlds, as I said earlier, last week as your pastor. And there are so many worlds where I just can't help. I want to do everything, fix everything, have answers, but I realize the sad reality. It's just not going to happen. No seminary degree, knowledge from the Bible, or years of experience are going to help me drive someone to the hospital, give people all the money they need to fix, not so much their wants, but their needs, or even just take hours for somebody I know who's hurting, who needs a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on. I so wish I could do all of it. I wish I could snap my fingers and 30, 40, 50 people every week would be new in here. And then I think about Philip and the disciples who wanted it all then. We live in a result-driven world now too. Philip and the disciples wanted to know God was there, and I find it hard to blame them. They just want to know. They want to believe. They want to see God so they can know for sure they are taken care of. And any work they do will do any good. How's that any different from the church today? Any work we do, we want to know it'll do any good. But here's what Jesus says to Philip. No. You don't need to see God. You should already know there. He's there. You should already know he's there. He cares. Just do his work and know I'm with you. And the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent, is also there to help you. Anything you ask in my name, he says, I'll do. Now notice he doesn't give a timeline for that. You know, friends, I think about why we don't often help people. Why did most ignore the Samaritan on the lonely road? Why do so many laugh at someone being bullied, or worse, do nothing? Why, when people are aware others are struggling, do they say they'll pray for them but do nothing else? And I think the reason simply comes down to this. We just can't help everybody. We can't fix everything and everyone. We don't have the answers. It's not possible. So, what do? Nothing. What is possible, though, as Jesus says, is for us to just be there, be ready, do what we can when God puts opportunities in our path. And even if we're not always sure what to do, God will be there to help us and will work in and through us in even greater ways than we could possibly grasp or imagine. On February 24th, 1989, story some 30 years ago, but I think it's still quite relevant, United Airlines Flight 81 took off from Honolulu on its way to New Zealand. The 747 had climbed to 22,000 feet when the forward cargo door of the jet blew open, tearing a huge hole in the side of the plane. 9 passengers were immediately sucked out of the plane to their deaths, and the 2 right engines were damaged by flying debris and taken out of commission. The plane was 100 miles from land. Well, the captain, David Cronin, brought all of his wisdom and 38 years of piloting experience to the table. His stickiest problem was deciding how fast to fly, because the whole had changed the aerodynamics, that is, the mechanical operations of the huge craft. The usual data regarding stall speed was no longer relevant. And the pilot, knowing this task had to use his best judgment and knowledge. Furthermore, since the plane had just taken on 300,000 pounds of fuel for the long flight, it was too heavy to land without collapsing the landing gear. It was going to take his best knowledge and action to get it straightened out. Well, then he encountered a new problem. The wing flaps used to slow down the plane were not working properly. He would have to land the plane at 195 miles per hour compared to the normal speed of 170 mph. The jet weighed 610,000 pounds, well above Boeing's recommended maximum stress load of 564,000 pounds. I must stop here, friends, and add, I'm flying out to annual conference to meet Paul and Shirley Bulldozer in Greensboro, North Carolina, in a couple weeks, and I'm not the craziest about flying to begin with, and this story doesn't help. For those of you that don't like flying, don't raise your hands, but God bless you. I totally get it. The only reason I have learned to deal with flying, I still get that lifeless feeling when I'm up in the air as if I can't control. Of course, I can't drive a car, so it really shouldn't matter, but I still don't really like it. But I've learned to deal with it because it's the quickest thing that gets me from A to there. I'm just glad I just can't look out the window during the takeoff or landing. Well, anyhow, friends, Captain David Cronin, despite practically none of the facts being in his favor, landed this plane safely. He made one of the smoothest landings, in fact, his crew could ever remember, amid the understandable cheers of the passengers. Airline experts called the landing miraculous. And a few days later, an interviewer asked David about his first thoughts following the loss of the cargo door. And he said, "A prayer for my passengers was awesome. And I did it momentarily. Then I got back to business. A door is hardly worth everyone's lives." Friends, you think David had no help with this whole thing? I think not. God was with him every step of the way. I'm sure even with his knowledge, even with all the classes he took on flying, even with as much compassion as he may have had, even with his prayers, he was by himself unable to rescue most of these passengers, to land this plane safely. True, 9 were lost, but many survived. And think about this. Isn't David's situation a lot of what we confront in our Christian walk? We can do our best to reach everyone. Some may never want to share God's love or hear the gospel message or care one lick about what we're telling them. But friends, everyone can benefit and be blessed by the way we work, the joy we have, and the opportunities we take. In our passage this morning in John's Gospel, I'm not going to spend a long time on it because it's pretty self-explanatory. As the disciples are preparing for their fellow brother, the one whom they followed and ministered with, the one whom they've grown so deeply to love, to go and prepare a place for them, to leave them, they simply want to know God is with them. They want proof. They want knowledge. And Jesus says, "You already have the knowledge. It's up to you to carry on the action." Knowledge and action, friends, is what the Christian walk is all about. Jesus has given us his word, his love, his care, but it's up to us to take those keys of life and translate them, share them, enjoy them, use them, relish them, appreciate them, and most of all, never lose them, especially the gift of salvation through Jesus. We must share that gift with others. We must always be there and be ready to do God's work. The assurance we've got, we're never alone. We've got the Holy Spirit advocating for us. If we keep Jesus' commandments of love, as the passage says, then all will be taken care of. In the words of Peter's first letter in chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, all of you, be like-minded. Now, how many of us can do that? Be like-minded. But there's a key there. It's be like-minded in Christ. That does not mean agree, but be like-minded in Christ. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. Friends, we know God's there. Now just be there to do His work. That's all. It's never in vain. And we're not alone. We've got the help of the Lord. And that help means our joy should never run out. We must be there for God, for each other, at all cost. I'm so pleased the work of the Vision Team. So pleased the work they're doing, as I said earlier. Let's continue to pray for God to form and shape us so we can continue to deepen our ministry, our Bible study, our community outreach, so we can continue to open opportunities to welcome a new youth director, so we can bring in and have programs and thoughts for our children, so we can continue to deepen our own understanding, young and old, of the gospel. Programs are wonderful, but the gospel is great. As I think about our challenges here at Black Rock, our location, our numbers, our aging nature, you know, we're not even different from many churches, are we? I think of the blessings we have. Our music, our service, so many who volunteer their time. I consider our gifts and abilities, so many varied ones we've got. Friends, there is indeed work for God at Black Rock Church of the Brethren. Exciting work God is ready to do. We have the knowledge of God always being with us. We have the awareness Jesus has instructed us in the ways of love, blessing, and community. We just can't crash our plane by refusing to be an active, open, opportunistic, optimistic, radiant, resilient, and rejoicing family of faith. I heard someone say recently something I really liked. Failing is not falling down. You hear that? Faith is not falling down. What do you think it is? Refusing to get up again. And friends, that's the truth. We're not going to succeed at everything. We're not supposed to. But we got to try. And as God leads us, as Jesus has told us, and as the Holy Spirit helps us along the way, we've got a unique story, a story only we can share. We've got to keep getting back up and telling our story. In the words of an old hymn, we've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. We've a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigns above has sent His Son to save us and show us that God is love. And we've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. So friends, we have the knowledge. Do we believe it enough to take action, to tell the story of Jesus? Do we know in our own hearts God has a story for us, a song, a message to share as a Savior leads us? Do we have the courage for our knowledge and action to meet so we can more fully and faithfully be the humble and joyful hands and feet of Jesus? So, there's always work to be done, my friends. Be with God. Let's let Him help us. Let's just be there, because He's always there for us. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. Strong and faithful we will stand, all God's people hand in hand. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there, be there. We will share the wonder of God's word. We are the people of God, be there. We will take the gospel into the world. We are the people of God. We will teach the children and tell them of God's grace. And we will serve the Lord with love and praise, love and praise. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. Strong and faithful we will stand, all God's people hand in hand. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there, be there. We will help the lonely find the Lord. We are the people of God, be there. We will feed the hungry and the poor. We are the people of God. We will help the homeless and those who lose their way. And we will work together in God's name, in God's name. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. Strong and faithful we will stand, all God's people hand in hand. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. When there's God's work to be done, we'll be there, we'll be there. So friends, as I said at the beginning, knowing is one thing, doing is another. Let's know God's with us and do His work. And by our knowledge and action, who knows how or to whom our story will teach, preach, and reach. Yeah, we can't fix everything, but let's not have that stop us from doing nothing. After all, if God's always there, and He's always doing for us, why should we be there and do any less for Him or anyone else as best we can? You know, the best part of all, we've got great challenges, yes, but we've also got God's greatest gift to us, Jesus, our great Redeemer and friend, always in our hearts. Now, isn't that the best knowledge and action we've been given in order to believe, to be blessed, and to be a blessing? To God be the glory. Amen. Would you stand if you're able and sing our closing hymn? Just one second. Okay, Robin, can you give that to us again? There is a Redeemer. Here we go. There is a Redeemer, Jesus God. Okay, I'm going to stop you one second. I'm going to stop you, friends, there. Hang on. Can we just pick it up a little faster? One, two, three, four. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus.
Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
So friends, the work is there to do. Go do it and enjoy it. We have a story to share, but most of all, we have a Redeemer to help us, and we have a Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen?
Amen.
Go. Amen.